Welcome this morning to Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. A gentleman who doesn't just talk green, he's got green in his name, and he's doing everything he can to live green. It's Rob Greenfield. He's known by many as the Trash Man. He did a project where he wore all the garbage that he created on his body for a month, and he's got a new project that he is on the line to talk to us about this morning. Hey, Rob, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Very nice to be on with you. I got to be honest, the reason I was late, I was dreaming that I was with Mahatma Gandhi, and it was a very, very powerful dream.
Wow. So I guess I can't feel too upset that I got sort of stood up for Mahatma Gandhi. If it had been anybody else, my
it was the only dream I've ever had that like that in my entire life.
Wow. So you're kind of still half in that, wow, what just happened space. I love that space.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I'm here fully.
Okay, so maybe this is the problem. You're going to go a year without groceries. This is not the same as a hunger strike like Mahatma Gandhi undertook a couple of times famously. This is just you're going to eat exclusively food that you grow and forage. So you were actually in Duluth last Friday. Is this one of the things you were talking about when you were here?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm actually already on day 305 of my year of growing and foraging all my food. So I'm actually in the finishing stretch.
And wow.
I'm currently based out of Orlando, Florida, but I'm from Ashland originally. And I'm up here in the North Woods in the Great Lakes region for about 3 months, which meant bringing a lot of food with me from my gardens in Florida. And then learning all the plants, or not all the plants, but learning a lot of plants up here in order to be able to largely live off of what grows abundantly all around us.
Well, if you're going to try to live for a year on what you can grow and forage, obviously, Florida's the place to do it, as opposed to, you know, no diss intended to Ashland, but... Now, when you talk about foraging, does that count hunting? Does that count fishing?
Yes. Yep. So, and that's the thing. Like, you know, Florida is a great place for it, but people would be blown away to know the resources that we have. I mean, I spent the first 23 years of my life in Wisconsin, growing up in the North Woods, and I walked past plants every single day, or drove past them on my way to the drive-through. And I mean, there is just such an abundance. And two books I'd actually recommend are by a local. His name's Sam Thayer, and he's got The Forager's Harvest and Nature's Garden. And if you just read these two books, you would just be blown away at what we drive past and walk past every single day that's edible, from berries to tubers to, you know, leaves to flowers, you know, shoots and stalks. And it's just amazing what our region has to offer.
Well, I think it's significant that part of what you're doing is not necessarily vegetarian or vegan, because there are concerns, of course, the minute people start talking about vegetarian or vegan diets, other people start going, how are you going to get enough protein? And so if you're eating animal proteins, at least you can keep the conversation focused where you want the conversation focused, and it doesn't sort of go off on that other tangent. So I love the way you kind of describe your life on your website, and I love the way you identify yourself back in 2006, 2007 as drunk dude and environmental nuisance. Okay, I understand what a drunk dude is, but what is an environmental nuisance?
Yeah, so what I was is I was someone where all of my actions caused destruction to the world. So I was living a fairly normal life, you know, Wisconsinite life, and In 2011, I started to watch a lot of documentaries and read a lot of books, and just realized almost every single thing that I was doing was causing destruction to the world. The food that I was eating was coming from factory farms that was, you know, being shipped all over the world. The, you know, the car that I was driving and the gas that I was pumping into it was a part of the routine oil spills, 10,000 oil spills that happen per year, and the, you know, decrease in air quality for us and for all the other species. You know, just all the garbage I was making just to wipe up a spill, paper towel in the garbage. And so I just realized almost everything that I was doing was a nuisance to the environment. And that's when I decided I wanted to change my life so that my actions would actually be in alignment with my beliefs. Because growing up in the Northwoods, I always had a passion for the outdoors, but I didn't realize that my actions were actually detrimental to it.
Making that connection can be really difficult, because if you grew up in the Northwoods here, chances are you had lovely parents who said, go to college and get a job. And you had to say, well, I have to figure out how to go to college or not and get a job where I can, again, live in alignment with my beliefs. And for you, that meant getting rid of your car and getting a bike. How did you... When you said to your folks, I'm going to, you know, reduce my carbon footprint, I'm going to quit being destructive to the environment, were they supportive of that? Or did they say, how are you going to make a living, dear?
Yeah, well, I didn't. I when I went to college, I was in that same boat. I mean, I was heading off. I went to UW La Crosse and I was planning on being a biologist. And my focus was definitely on money and material possessions and, you know, financial wealth and all of that. It wasn't until 2 years after I graduated that I really started to wake up. Now, I'm fortunate to be able to say, though, my parents are very supportive of me, and I'm super blessed to have parents and a family where we support each other, whatever it is that we want to be doing, and money is not a major focus of our family. So very, very thankful to my mom. Mom, if you're listening, I love you.
No, you're such a good kid.
She's one of my biggest fans, honestly. On Facebook, it says top fan, you know, right there by her name. She's always commenting. And so she's a great mom to have.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about, and I'm guessing that your mom, too, was maybe hanging over your shoulder a little bit during this project and saying, are you eating enough protein? Are you getting enough, you know, of a well-balanced diet, that sort of thing? What's been the hardest part of this, I am not going to buy groceries, I am just going to eat what I grow and what I can forage? What's been the hardest part of this?
Well, the most challenging thing is that food is the center of our lives. A lot of us don't realize it, but the reason our culture exists generally goes back thousands of years to the food that created that culture in the first place. So it's the center of our social lives, you know, our friends, our family. It is our existence. You can't go too long without eating before ceasing to exist. For so much of us, as it's sort of our purpose and our happiness, you know, it's tied in there in our health. So it's the center of my life, and I've completely unraveled the way that it would be done in the past. And then it's just, you know, our current food system is designed to be extremely convenient. We can get whatever we want pretty quickly, just right at the grocery store. And if I need something, I got to figure out how to grow it, which means planning months in advance, or figure out how I can go out into nature and get it, which it's not always easy to find exactly what you want.
No, they have not yet invented the Twinkie bush.
No.
And I'm feeling pretty depressed about that, or an M&M tree.
There's not that, but there is bees and honey, and I had have four bee colonies in Florida and was able to produce 4 gallons of honey, which is way more than I need to satisfy my sweet tooth. And, you know, delicious fruits. Right now I'm eating applesauce every day. Just picked a bunch of fresh pears and plums. And then there's the berries. So it is bountiful. So far this year I have grown or foraged over 240 different species. And so it's been diverse and it's been beautiful.
What has been easier than perhaps you thought it was going to be?
Hmm. What has been easier?
Has anything been easier than you thought it was going to be?
Well, generally, it has been about what I expected. You know, I did a lot of research and a lot of planning, and generally, the project has gone according to plan. I'm about the same exact weight as when I started. I'm in really good health, and that was the question. You know, am I going to be able to do this? I really didn't know. I thought I was going to, but I'm happy to say, you know, 10 months in, say 305, that I've gotten here 100%. Homegrown and foraged food without any grocery stores or restaurants or eating from a fence pantry for a whole year. And one thing I just want to mention really quick about, you know, why I'm doing this. I do really extreme projects. You mentioned some of them. And the idea isn't for anyone else to do this to this extreme. The idea is to create the conversation like we're having right now about our daily actions. And so my hope isn't that anybody's going to grow or forage all of their food, but I would love, you know, my hopes is that more people will start to grow a little bit of their own food or connect with the plants in the area and learn what's growing abundantly around them or learning where their food comes from and supporting local farmers, going to the farmers market or going to the local food co-op and being able to buy the food that's grown locally. So that's really the idea. I do extreme things, and the idea is to get the conversation going and hopes to inspire people to make one small change at a time.
Well, that is a fascinating point, and I'm so glad that you brought that up because it does seem, although, of course, we're not that far away. I'm thinking about my dad growing up on the farm in the 20s. We're not that far away from an environment where people really were providing all their own food. They, you know, were farming, obviously, and they were growing their own fruits and vegetables, and they were growing their own meat and making their own butter and doing that whole thing. So we're, in a sense, we're not that far removed in terms of time from a time when people were doing that. And yet when it seems like most Americans are working, you know, a 40, 50, 60-hour week, there isn't time to do that kind of thing, really.
Yeah, and that's really the idea. I mean, it's all about self-reflecting and rethinking our entire lives. Do we want to live in a way where we're working way more than, you know, is good for us physically or mentally? Do we want, you know, years and decades to slip by that way? Or do we want to take the power into our hands and you know, really reassess our lives to try to live in a way where we're truly happy and healthy and where our actions are in alignment with our beliefs? And it's hard. I mean, for me, it took years of changing my life to get to that point. And so for other people, it's going to take years as well. You have to unravel from the credit cards and the, you know, long list of bills, but it's one bit at a time. And for me, it was about asking, do I really need this or do I just want this? And now, would I actually be able to fill my space with something more purposeful and where I can have more passion than buying this or, you know, having this service, which is another bill? And I think it is possible, even though a lot of us are so stuck in our situations, to start unraveling those situations one bit at a time to really be living the lives that we want that hopefully at the same time are, you know, better for our communities and the environment and the world around us.
Rob, I'm curious about whether or not you have thought about this at all, because I realize as I begin to move into a new stage of my life, I'm thinking about it a lot, but I suspect I didn't think about it at all when I was a younger person. Do you start to think about how am I going to manage when I am an older person? And maybe physically I'm not able to do the sorts of things that I'm able to do, and somehow I may have to figure out how to pay for long-term, you know, long-term care. I know a lot of people that seem that feel like they're kind of on the treadmill, but they feel like, for example, their health insurance is something that they can't give up. And I'm wondering if that's the, you know, if you too have sort of looked at parts of this puzzle and said, these I can get by without, but yeah, this I'm kind of stuck on this one. This is going to be hard to get by without it.
Yep, I've looked into everything that you can possibly imagine. There's nothing that stumps me because I've been thinking about this stuff for a long time and implementing it. So that's something I've written about a lot. Death health insurance and such. And I write about that in more in depth at robgreenfield.tv/health insurance. We won't be able to cover it all. But to summarize, I personally don't have health insurance. Over 75% of doctor visits come down to diet, exercise, and stress. So what we're eating, if we're moving our bodies enough and stretching, and then the way we're living our lives, that whether it's causing lots of anxiety and stress. So the most important thing is preventative health care. It's taking care of our bodies, and I do that. I pour a lot of time and energy into just taking care of my body in the first place. And then I've done a lot of research on how much things actually cost. For example, if I were to break my arm, you know, that might cost $5,000. Then I'll pay for that. Most catastrophic things, you know, a lot of times insurance doesn't cover that to the point where you don't end up walking out of there in so much debt, you'll be in debt up
exactly.
to your eyeballs for the rest of your life anyway. And then beyond that, you know, the interesting thing is by simplifying my life so much and by living in the service of humanity, I no longer find such an importance of my life that I think I need to do everything to stay alive in situations where death is an acceptable thing. So, for example, if I personally get cancer and the bills would be hundreds of thousands of dollars, I will choose not to do that. And instead, that will be the time when I transition to end of life. Another really quick thing to point out is that I believe that humans can take care of each other. And I believe that if I'm dedicating my life to humanity, that in my elder ages, there will be people that will be willing to work with me as well. And that could just mean, you know, a spare bedroom in someone's house and I watch the kids as an elder. But more likely, my plan is to create a community, and I would like that to be an intergenerational community where we can take care of each other. Or I could just join an intergenerational community as well. So it's all about thinking outside of the current box that mainstream society has put itself into, because there are, if you look at cultures around the world, being an elder isn't a burden. People take care of each other.
Rob, you really have thought deeply about so many of these things, and I wish we had a lot more time to talk with you. Thank you so much for giving us the time that you have. I've got to ask you, though, I just have to, before I let you go, when you were in Duluth on Friday, you did not go out to eat anywhere?
Absolutely not.
What were you tempted? What were you tempted by? Were there any local establishments or things that people were talking about that you had to say, ooh, tempted, but no?
You know, that didn't come up on the way there. I actually harvested a roadkill deer, and I had myself fresh venison to cook that night, and I was pretty excited about that at the moment. So
you remind me of some people I knew when I was in Bismarck who would, who would hear the screech of tires and immediately grab their butchering equipment and run for the highway. Rob, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. What a treat. I hope we have the opportunity to talk again, and thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Keep up the great work, Lisa.
Rob Greenfield is an adventurer and an environmental activist. He lives in Orlando, Florida, but he grew up in Ashland, Wisconsin. He was our guest this morning here on Green Visions. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.